This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
Welcome back. This would have been the night the Bills hosting Kansas City, but of course the game is now scheduled for Monday night, and that should still be pretty cool. You know, except for the fact that we can't go to it. This would have been a great, an all-time, you know, Bills game, especially in the last couple of decades to go to, but, you know, tough one. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio joins us on the West Her Hotline. Hello, Sal.
Hi, guys.
So you just tweeted Le'Veon Bell injuries, Chiefs game. Can I cram in a question or maybe two about the Titan game?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Because we never talk
about
it. We
haven't talked since then. I never thought about
right,
that.
Right. So super concerning or not really? Or like which is closer?
You mean overall play?
Yeah.
Like the result and everything? No, I don't think super concerning. I think there are concerns. Anytime you take, you know what, a good four or five of your best players off the field, you're going to have problems. It's just the way it is in the NFL. I don't care what team you are. It's like when they played without Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. Like, you just can't replace a whole bunch of players like that. It's one thing to say one guy's down. It's another thing to say a whole bunch of guys are down, especially on a team on offense. And on offense, it even goes further because, as you guys have been talking, you take John Brown away, it just shows you how you have to kind of really fill those roles when a team that loves to use every bit of their wide receivers. The Titans played almost a perfect game if you go back and look at it. They really didn't make any mistakes, guys. The Bills made a lot of mistakes, and they had three turnovers. They averaged the same amount of yards per play. They had very similar statistics except for the turnovers. So that was the issue in the game, and that was the reason.
Yeah, the Bills were even excellent on third down, but that's what turnovers will do to you. Like, you can convert a bunch of third downs and then turn the ball over, and those third down conversions don't amount to anything.
You get
no points for third down conversions.
By the way, like I 100% do not care about that stat. Maybe I should a little bit. But there are too many games like that. Like, the Bills are great on third down, and they lose by 26. The Seahawks did not convert on third down one time in their win against Minnesota. Not once, the whole game. So I feel like, you know, there's four downs. I don't need to be good
on
a certain
thing,
down.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. Here's the thing, though. I understand where you're coming from, and I agree to a point. But I think what happens is those third downs matter if you have to sustain drives. They don't matter if you can strike down the field, which the Seahawks have done and can do this year with Russell Wilson.
And the Bills.
And in games. And the Bills can, but they didn't on Tuesday night. That's the difference. Like, it doesn't matter. The Bills stayed in that game, at least, you know, to a point, because they were converting third downs, because they had to convert third downs. If they could score like they did against Miami quickly down the field, against the Jets, whatever, against the Rams, the third downs don't really matter. It doesn't come into play because you can strike from anywhere. But the way that the Titans played the Bills, they made them fight for everything they had to get. They made them go down the field for long drives. And eventually, you know, the Bills made a mistake here or there, whether that was penalties or turnovers. You know, that's the way it is. So, yeah, I think in the large picture, third down conversion rate probably doesn't necessarily translate into wins and losses. But I do think in that game it mattered because it could have been even worse at the time, I guess, you know, with the Bills having to make those third downs.
in the 11 games that are still to come, starting with this Monday against Kansas City, Sal, when we hear the announcers on the broadcast, or maybe you'll even make the point on our broadcast to the fans listening on the radio, oh, well, you've got the Chiefs here, you've got the Jets here, you've got the Patriots in a two-deep shell zone look. They're taking away the deep stuff. I think I know the answer, but I'd just like to hear you, and I bet our audience would too. Tell me, like, what do the Bills need to do in that case? Is that establish the run? Is that just be patient and take your shots when you can, but work underneath? Because Tennessee did a great job on, I think, confusing Allen.
They did, and I think the answer is more to the second part. Be patient, take what they give you, and then take your shots. I think the issue here was they didn't have John Brown. There was no real threat to go down the field on Tuesday night. I want to know if teams do that to the Bills if they have John Brown in the lineup. I think it's a lot harder to do. And if the Bills do see that look with John Brown in the lineup, I think you attack with John Brown down the field, and that will really open up. It doesn't mean you throw it to him necessarily. You know, that will open up, let's say, that play they had to Gabriel Davis against the Rams on the sideline, right? Something like that. You know, you get those really deep crossers that open up if you can get a guy and take him downfield. I think the running game is a separate issue from that. The running game is you just have to be able to move people. You have to be a little more physical. I think the Bills are missing a physical element to their running game. To be quite honest with you, I thought TJ Yeldon ran the ball well. Now, not numbers-wise, but when he got the ball, he went forward and he fell forward. There wasn't all this misdirection stuff in the backfield and read this and read that. It was get the ball and go. And I know that's not sexy, but there comes a time where you got to be able to do that. And I thought Tuesday night they did it in a few spots, but it kind of showed to me that I think they're going to need to do that more often.
I don't know if I'm more, which I'm more of these two things. More of the, wow, who knew John Brown meant so much, even with Diggs on the team? Or, well, we've only heard it said every single time that Brown is really important. So we knew that Brown was really important. And even with Diggs on the team, we've seen what that has meant to their offense this year. And Brown was already still a big part of that. So I feel like both things are being said. Both things can be said. But really, it's really not news that John Brown means a lot to them.
He's really good. But if I can also go back to Bulldog's question, I think part of it was they did not even target Cole Beasley in the first half, guys. I mean, he had zero targets in the entire first half. If you're going to play that defense that you described over the top and keep everything underneath, that has to be Cole Beasley time. You have to be able to find him. You have to be able to figure out how he can just sit down in the zone and get him the ball and get that 6 yards, 7 yards, even a first down here or there. But they were not able to do that. You see what happened in the second half. They come out. He had 6 catches for 53 yards all in the second half. So, yeah, I think the Bills were struggling with finding a way to do that. I asked Brian Daboll when we had our Zoom yesterday, were the Titans taking Cole away, or was it really after Josh got the ball in his hands where he basically had to decide to go? And he said it was that. So I think Josh has to decide and figure out quicker, however that is, or even Cole has to beat his guy better, whatever it is. I'm not going to blame it on Josh necessarily, but I think they have to figure out how to get Cole Beasley involved in situations like that. If you're going to take everything away up top and keep everything underneath, then Cole Beasley has to be your underneath guy. That's why he's there.
I would just add that in the first half, so they had really 5 possessions, not including a one play kneel down. The first one is 3 and out with the pick, right? So that's 3 plays. And then you had 2 scoring drives that were really nice. I don't like how the second one ended with Yeldon runs and then an incomplete pass and a field goal. And then really 2 other 3 and outs. So your chances for for finding Beasley on a possession that didn't work out were not that many. You know, you had, like, you're talking about 2 or 3 plays there, but it can go like that, right? Then you're at halftime, and it's conspicuous, especially with Brown out, that he hasn't gotten the ball.
I think the overall point here, guys, is, you know, the Bills, let's go back to the word patient, right? The Bills, the Titans challenged the Bills to be patient, to get away from what they're comfortable with, which is strike hard, strike fast, strike long downfield. Like, that's what the Bills' offense has been doing this year. And they weren't able to do that. It's like a 3-point shooting team that you just get out on the guards and say, look, we're going to make you dribble and have to find somebody inside. And it makes that team really uncomfortable. I thought the Bills were just uncomfortable all night on offense. They seemed off to a large degree in many respects, but I think that was part of it. It wasn't, I see, I don't want to say confusing. Like, they've seen everything. They're professional football players. I don't think Josh Allen was confused, but I think it really tried their patience versus what they've been used to doing this year.
Yeah, maybe more frustrated than confused.
Correct. I think that's exactly a word I would use, yes.
Well, you're talking about Tennessee playing a perfect game. Of course, much was made about how they couldn't practice very often. Have you talked to players about that? Were players more impressed with that than maybe fans, or less impressed with that than maybe fans would be?
You mean how they reacted to everything, Tennessee?
Well, you know, it's an easy line that maybe everybody out here has said since Tuesday night, which is like, well, what does this say about practice and all of that? That's all that sort of that whole category of takes. You know, it's notable when a team has that layoff and they can't even go to the facility and they play what you're calling a perfect game. I wonder if players, like players on the Bills or players in general, as you see it, would have been surprised by that or maybe not really.
I don't know if they're surprised. I will tell you, though, that there is a bit of a sentiment that, you know, from around the league, from people I've read, even like Titans players maybe talking to them, that they really benefited from doing a lot of their home film work, you know, in Zoom and meetings and things like that. They really benefited, you know. Not for nothing, guys, but I mean, look at the offenses this year in the NFL, and really a lot of it was off-season stuff like that. You know, maybe there's just way more. I'm not trying to be the old man and scream at the clouds here because this is a compliment, but we are dealing here with really 20-year-olds, 20-something-year-olds who grew up in a generation of learning via screens and computers and talking to each other in FaceTime. My son does. He's 6 years old. He calls his friends, you know, on video all the time, and I think there might be something to be said for this is how. This is a really beneficial tool to learn. And the Titans all week got a chance to do that. And maybe that was way more beneficial than people realized for them actually being out on the field.
Sal Capaccio with us here on the Wester Hotline. Le'Veon Bell, a story today. The Bills reportedly one of three teams he's considering as we talk now. There have been more updates and reports that sometimes leave the Bills out of the mix with the Chiefs and the Dolphins still being mentioned. What do you think of their chances? What did you find out today from Sean McDermott and anybody else on this? And do you like the idea?
So obviously Sean McDermott did not deny it. In fact, he sort of kind of confirmed it, right? He didn't really specifically say, yes, we are talking to him, but he basically did say, you know, we are always trying to improve our team, and this is one of those situations. So I think that could be taken as a confirmation. I think that the Bills probably, to me, I think I give Miami the best chance here, guys, just from the things I'm hearing and reading, tying him down to Miami. He's had, you know, he didn't play football for a year. He went to New York. He had a tough situation there. He hasn't played well. He trains down in Miami. He has a home down there. And now Mike Garofalo, tweeted out a little while ago that Miami's apparently waving a lot of money around at him. You know, and if it comes down to that, I think it would be tough. I can't see the Bills doing that. If this is a money decision, I don't think the Bills will rise up in that category. If it's anything other than money, I would give the Bills a much better chance than that. I will tell you also that I have friends in Kansas City who last night really believed that Le'Veon Bell was going to sign with them. Like, it was getting close. And then apparently something turned today. Maybe that was the money thing. Maybe Miami came in and said, hold on before you do that. What can we offer you? Maybe the Bills put out a full court press or something. I don't know what happened to get him not to sign with Kansas City when a lot of people thought he was going to. But I will tell you, in Kansas City, they really thought that you know, he was going to sign. I'll get to what I think about the fit, which is it's a great fit. I think Le'Veon Bell, as much as he has not been a great performer over the last couple of years, look, I think you could put Walter Payton in his prime in the Jets offense with Adam Gase over the last 2 years, and he wouldn't be very good, to be quite honest with you. And I'm not telling you that Le'Veon Bell is going to go back to peak 2015-16 Le'Veon Bell, what he was with Pittsburgh or whatever, but I do think he still has something left. I think that he's much better than what he's shown the last couple of years. And I think his specific style of play is an absolute home run fit for what the Bills do offensively.
Does he become the number one running back on this team if they were to get him?
I don't know, because I don't know if they have a number one running back. I guess Devin Singletary is, right? But I would say he probably would be over time, Bulldog. I don't know if it would be right away, but I still think they would split. Look, Brian Daboll believes in using his entire roster. He has told us that, and he does that. Now, I know Devin Singletary is considered kind of the number one running back, but they also haven't had Zach Moss for the last few weeks, and Zach Moss was getting some carries when he was on the field. But Daboll does like to use his entire roster. Tywan Jones was on offense the other night. TJ Yeldon, he certainly got his opportunities the other night. I don't think it would be a situation where you'd be getting 20 carries a game, but yeah, he'd probably get more than Devin Singletary, and that's fine with me. I mean, Devin Singletary's done some nice things in this league in his young career, and I think he has a good future. But if you have a chance to get Le'Veon Bell on your roster, you go and do it because he's a really, really good football player, and he would help you in a situation where you are about to contend possibly for a conference championship.
I said earlier that I usually don't get lost in this point, but keeping him away from Kansas City isn't, to me, it's not nothing. In all this, you know, like, right. I don't want to dismiss the opportunity to get Bell on my team and then be sitting here watching him become, like, you know, just this, like, another thing that Kansas City has that they can destroy you with, because, you know, the race the Bills are running here is, I think, to try to find a way to compete with Kansas City and take them down. So that's a factor here too, I think.
Yeah, I think if you think you're going to see them later down the road, and, you know, if this is your primary competition now to get to where you want to go, then sure, I think that's the case. Obviously, not that you're saying this, you don't want to cut your nose off to spite your own face,
No, you know, right.
And do something that's really dumb, right? And offer them this huge contract just for that. And that's, you're right, Bulldog, it's not the reason you do it, but it's an added benefit. I think that's how you said it earlier, and you're right about that. If you have a chance to do that, I think you do. And look, I don't think he comes here just with the, if he were to sign with Buffalo. It's not just the running. This is a receiving threat. This is a guy that could literally be like a wide receiver in the NFL. He's so good at running routes and catching passes. And, you know, I was down at the stadium today, and, you know, Thad Brown, our friend from over in Rochester, Thad grew up a Jets fan. So I always ask him about the Jets, and we're always talking about it. And he even said to me, he goes, Sal, could you imagine the five wide they could put out? If you put out four wide receivers with, you know, Diggs, Brown, Davis, Beasley, and then Le'Veon Bell becomes your fifth wideout. And like, how do you cover that? And that's right. I mean, the Bills could literally just put, they could have guys in their fourth and fifth spots that no one could really imagine and touch in the NFL on a defensive side.
So he's no longer a Jets fan?
He grew up a Jets fan. That's all I have to tell you. That's all I'm going to say.
Is he not allowed to be?
Are you only allowed to?
I didn't say he is. I don't know. I think he still roots for the Jets. Yeah, but.
Are you only allowed to not root for a team you're covering? Can you root for a different team?
You have to ask that. I don't know. I don't want to put words in his mouth.
I'm just telling you
that he grew up a Jets fan.
Well, I'm a Buffalo sports fan.
I'm a Buffalo sports fan. I want all Buffalo teams to succeed, no matter what. I don't care what sport it is. I love when our city and region is represented well.
Look at you. Sal Capaccio with us. Yes.
The news out there today is, like, not much of a practice, so hard to get real encouraged, but there were a lot of guys that have been on the injury list that were at least out there, right?
100%. Yeah, I think encouraging is the word. It's the way I phrased it as well today, because with all the guys that were missing, guys on Tuesday night, I mean, everybody was back at practice in some capacity, and the only one that wasn't was the guy that got hurt on Tuesday night, and that was Dawson Knox. I actually saw him on the side, you know, doing some work, but he didn't actually practice. Now, look, this has to be tempered a little bit because they only did a jog through. It is funny that it's termed a jog through and not a walk through, right? I mean, you want to make sure the guys know you're jogging today, you're not walking. But it was a jog through today, and there were no pads on, there were no helmets on. I was out there, we watched, you know, they were still running routes, they were still doing, you know, going through their normal, you know, kind of against air basically, but also just kind of recognition is what I'll call it, offense and defense. But yeah, I mean, Tre'Davious White, he was wearing like this harness type deal on his torso, presumably, you know, for his back injury. Levi Wallace was even out there. Surprising to me, he's on IR with an ankle injury. He was doing, you know, ladders, footwork off to the side. He's still on IR. He can't play this week, but I think it's very encouraging.
Was anything asked about Zach Moss? I think it's a little weird that he practiced in full late in the week and then didn't play anyway. I know that there was limited access last week. I thought maybe today he practiced today. So, like, is he hurt? Did he not play against the Titans because he was hurt or because they didn't think they needed him?
It hasn't been asked, Mike. It is a good question, but I'm assuming since he's still on the injury report that injury has something to do with him still not playing. You know, they just may not feel that he's completely ready for a full, you know, game action, basically, even though he's practicing in full. But it is a good question. I don't think he's a healthy scratch, if that's what you're asking. Mm-hmm. I think that when he's healthy, you know, you might want to use them. But look, I mean, TJ Yeldon did some nice things the other night. Maybe they're steering and going in that direction right now. He hasn't been a difference maker. We know that. And he still is listed on the injury report. And for what it's worth, Josh Allen is too, by the way. He's listed with a left shoulder injury, although he did have a full next to his name in participation today.
Okay, good. I'm glad you mentioned that because we have not asked you today about Allen still not really running, even mm-hmm. though it's been a topic since the day after the opener. We talked about it a lot then. It's like a month ago. Tomorrow. Let's probe that one tomorrow because we'll have our roundtable and we'll do that. We're doing that, right?
Yeah, we're still doing the roundtable, man.
Good. All right, you up for that? You'll be ready.
I will. I'll be ready. You'll be ready right now.
You'll
yeah,
be
I know,
ready.
Right?
You'll both be ready. All right, thank you, Sal.
Okay, guys.
There you go, Sal Capaccio on our West Her Hotline. His appearances is always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
You know, this other point that's come up in our conversation about Bell has me not down on the idea, but more ambivalent about it. Because before, like, how did I start? I'm like, why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. But you mentioned the Chiefs a few times here. Think about the Chiefs. Spencer Ware tears a knee ligament in preseason, and it's Kareem Hunt, and he leads the league in rushing. Then Kareem Hunt gets suspended and cut, and so what? And then it's Damian Williams off of Miami's dump heap. And so what? And he could have been the Super Bowl MVP. And it's LeSean McCoy who's washed, but so what? And then it's a rookie, Edwards-Helaire, who, like, he's all right this year, but it's not like he's killing it. I mean, isn't that the bottom line? Like, if it's Le'Veon Bell or anyone else, does it matter, really? Like, isn't that sort of the whole movement at that position? And why wouldn't that apply here, ultimately?
Yeah, well, I mean, mostly, except when you mix in, I mean, the point Sal made at the end there about the five wide maybe is, because that's not running back, you know, and not every one of the guys you just mentioned could be dangerous running pass routes like that, even against corners. And if Bell is, like, if that's provably correct, like, that's something. That's a different element. But, yeah, I mean, mostly, you know, on one hand, the way you phrase it, like the Bills are a few minutes ago, or maybe it was before Sal even, like that they're mentioned, like that's a compliment, right? Well, yeah, but also I think just recently, I don't remember the player, but.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
We were bragging about how a marquee offensive player is available, and I don't really need to bother with it because I'm all set. And, like, so that cuts both ways, you know, a little bit. I think I don't want to be, like, I don't have any talent. Oh, my God, of course I need this guy. And sometimes I think it can be perceived that way. Like, I'm desperate to get another body, and I don't know. I've got bodies, I think, but I don't know.
But this
I'm
last
all tangled up.
This last right. game makes you wonder a little bit. This
right.
last, they don't want to throw passes to Andre Roberts after that game. They might not want to throw passes to Knox after that game. They don't want mm-hmm. to throw passes to running backs already. So I think the idea of him in the slot actually is really good, and that might be the biggest point of all. 803-0550 for your points. Let's keep talking about it until Bell announces. An interesting quote from a prominent NFL player about a former Bill. You'll laugh, I think. Well, I'm laughing okay. thinking about it, so we'll have that for you. after the update. But lines are open for listeners, 803-0550. John Clayton in just over 30 minutes here with us. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
We don't have a tally on how many times we want them to run or not run. We want them to make the right decision. So, you know, whether we run an RPO or we run a zone read, or that entails him taking it and running, or a scramble play and making a loose play like he did last night, great. I think he's done a good job of protecting himself in those situations. If that's going to help us win, absolutely.
All right, I like to hear that. That means it was asked of Brian Daboll something along the lines of, what happened to Josh Allen running the ball? Which is my biggest question about the Bills right now. And, you know, Bulldog, am I right here? He doesn't want to give anything away. He mentions zone reads and run pass option plays are being plays where Allen has the option. Are there any of those?
Like, you need to really go back and as a game is unfolding, I would need to look back at it. I'm not always sure. I didn't spend any of Tuesday night looking at the run plays or pass plays and thinking, okay, is that one of those or not? But it seems we definitely know Allen isn't running. I don't know if they're calling that stuff or not. My sense is they're not, but I'm not positive. I wouldn't want to say it with authority that they have eliminated that from their offense. So I'm not sure what to make of that.
Some of his running plays were just quarterback around the end, like sweeps, even up the middle, quarterback draw. These plays that they don't count as run pass option or zone read plays. They're just straight runs. And that's, I don't know if the other part is happening at the same rate. I think it isn't, but these plays have stopped. And there was an interesting point made yesterday about how, was it Eric Wood who said it? I think it was, about how, in the first game, they were really working off of last year's offense to a point. You know, they had not had preseason, and that's all correct. That Allen really hadn't shown yet he was ready to let it fly. That's right. But it doesn't change that it worked. You know, it was very successful in that game. And when they're in these, they've been in close games every week since. They've won 3 of 4 since. And there are opportunities where you would just think, of course.
Yeah.
They would want to mix that in, but fumbling or injury risk or the fact that he now is hurt to some extent from what happened in Vegas, something from those areas, if not one of them, if not all of them, I think is applies.
Well, the last two of those, certainly if he's injured, that's a respectable reason. A respectable reason to hold him back from running. Fearing that he's going to get hurt, I don't want to be duplicitous about this. In the right circumstance, I think I want him to be deployed as a runner. And you just said it. I mean, they played close games and you haven't really seen it, so I don't know if there's some intent behind it. But I wouldn't want to hold him back from running because I'm worried he's going to get hurt running. And I certainly wouldn't because he fumbled a couple times in the opener. When I was upset about him running in the opener, it was because it was 21-0. Save that for when I need it, all right? There is, whatever the injury risk is, he's out there getting tackled by linebackers in a 21-0 game. No thanks, But if I'm in a tight game, then I think, the risk reward becomes more positive. I think I'm going to use that because it'll help me. So until I hear a better explanation, I'm assuming he's not healthy, and that explains Tuesday. I don't know what to do with everything else between the opener and Tuesday.
And I think it can explain the Titan game, but I'm not sure it suffices. You watch Allen is an elite runner. And you watch Mahomes or Wilson, Jackson's different. Those guys get down. They don't get hit. The defensive guys, have adjusted to this point. They know. And you see it now. There's the play develops, and say Russell Wilson. He gets downfield 5-6 yards, and he starts to go down. Nobody's taking that shot, diving in, launching themselves in to try to – it's kind of understood now that – you're going to lay off, and I'm going down here. And Allen could do that. I mean, he slides some. It's not running anymore. There's no. This is not in the present. This is in the past.
Right.
Like, he just get down. That's not going to put his shoulder at risk. I mean, it. Somebody could blast him, but
yeah.
You're really not seeing that. Like that.
I think, yeah. Well, the thing about that is some of his value, may, I don't know about a lot of his value. I mean, he's very athletic, and he can make guys miss. But he can make guys miss who actually get hands on him. You know, so like if he runs like Russell Wilson, that can still be effective. But he's also effective because he's hard to bring down. Right. And
right.
If you give up, then you're sacrificing that. And maybe that's where we end up long term
right.
with Josh Allen anyway. And that probably is for the best. But if you want to fully unleash Josh Allen, I think you want him trying to break tackles by defensive backs.
That's true.
Because he can do it.
Yep, that's right. All right, I'll get you that quote in just a second that I think is kind of funny. Here is Tony first. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great, Tony. Thanks for calling.
You know, it's gray and gloomy in Buffalo. We see a glimmer of hope. I just want to talk about Le'Veon Bell. I got 3 points on that. But before I get there, you mentioned the Josh. I would rather see Josh be a pocket passer first. Let's forget that he can run. I know it's a part of his skill set, but let's have everybody forget about it, and then when we need it, it's there. Because I would love to see him play until he's 40 years old. And if he's going to be a running back in his quarterback game, that's not going to happen. You know, but
Yeah, I couldn't disagree more. When is it needed? Here's a game where they had their first trouble advancing, you know, making certain plays, settling for that one field goal. What determines whether it was needed? Like, it was needed on Tuesday.
No, I understand. I want to get to Bell, though.
I know, but since you're – I know you want to get to Bell, but since you brought that up, like, play until he's 40. These things are the kind of things that have sort of been thrown out the window, right? You've got running quarterbacks all over the league. His athletic ability is really why he was still on the field going into this season. Those kind of plays, and if they're thinking like you, which is we don't really want that. We want him to play for a long time, all that sort of stuff. We don't really need this. I mean, I think that's a significant feature that they would be cutting out of their own offense. So
the less contact, the better against Josh Allen. The less contact he takes, the better.
No, but that's true of everybody.
You know, that's all I'm saying. Like, and it's not to say that we totally forget. It's just have it being a weapon in the arsenal that people always got to think about, something that we don't have to break out unless we need it. Now, I understand we could have used that, but they just played a sloppy game through and through. There was no phase of that team that was ready to play, that they were putrid in their just basic fundamentals. But a guy like Le'Veon Bell, not since Thurman could we possibly have a name like this come here. You know, you think about the Rex Ryan game against Pittsburgh when they countered us to the left and to the right, and this guy was 6-7 yards in that snow game. And what a weapon that would be for the offense, especially for the pass, because now what are you going to do? If you're going to commit to the pass, we're going to be able to run on you. We just would have to get that offensive line up and ready to get its run blocking down for a guy like this.
This is if you think this is if you think he's an exception to how it seems to go on every other team. He was not that for the Jets. He was not an exception to the rule in the league, which is that if you, you know, whatever you are as a team will determine whether your running back can get anywhere. And they couldn't get him anywhere.
This is what I'm thinking. It's like I compare Mike Tomlin and McDermott to be somewhat from the same cloth. And they know what they're doing when it comes to football and when they have the type of talent that they have at their disposal. And I'm just saying that this would make this offense marquee. It shows the rest of the world in the league, look, Buffalo's ready. We want to compete for a world championship. You know, it would be great if a defensive free agent at this level popped up with, hey, this is something that I wouldn't mind putting Moss on IR for a year so you don't lose anybody on the roster for this guy. You know what I mean?
Well, that's not going to happen. They're going to put him on IR for the year.
It's just, I would love to.
It's a toe injury.
I don't mind that them kids sit back and watch this guy go for it, even if it's just for this year.
Okay. Thanks, Tony. I mean, I just don't agree again. Nothing personal. I don't think in 2020 NFL, adding a running back means anything to anybody, even if it's Le'Veon Bell. Now I'm twisted up because I think it's why not. You want to put him in the slot. Tony's not talking about throwing the ball to him so much as he is handing the ball off to him, and that this would give the Bills some sort of new credibility. How many running back examples do we need to sort of figure out that it doesn't work like that? When Le'Veon Bell wasn't on the field for Mike Tomlin's Steelers, whoever was did the same thing. True, I mean,
or they threw the ball downfield more and they scored more and were more explosive because they weren't throwing shorter passes to their running back.
What if Christian McCaffrey didn't like his coach? Because it's a new coach in Carolina. So just imagine he didn't like his coach, and it was so bad, it got stupid. He went on Instagram and he went like Jamal Adams with the Jets. And Carolina thought, you know what, let's just get rid of this guy. We're rebuilding anyway. He's a running back. Let's just get rid of him. Fans everywhere would have been like, oh my God, let's add Christian McCaffrey. How much better can you do? Wow. Carolina loses him. And they put in a guy, Mike Davis, who's been cut everywhere, and like it's better. I don't know. I mean, I just think like I'm convinced. I like the I don't know, like there's a star quality maybe that that this is, and I think he can be just depth and another piece, which is all fine. Like, I don't know what I'm really losing, but I do not expect it to just elevate the Bills. That's it for me. I wouldn't expect it to elevate them, nor would I expect it to elevate the Chiefs or the Dolphins.
Yeah, then, I mean, I don't know, then what are you doing?
Then why do it?
You know, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say I'm relieved that you're tangled up, but it makes sense for, I think, us, because we've been having this conversation for... When was Mike Shanahan coaching the Broncos? I mean, we've been having this conversation about running backs and their interchangeability forever. And so falling over yourself to go, yeah, go get me Le'Veon Bell because I've seen him on TV and he's famous, sort of flies in the face of, you know, again, like one of our platforms, you know? So it is kind of confounding. Like, do I want this to happen? Do I need this to happen? What is this player at this point in his career? I don't know. Like, I'm not against it. Just like I wasn't against the Bills trading for LeSean McCoy. I just didn't think it was going to move the meter a whole lot.
Right. I felt the same way about
so
that.
So go do it. You want to go do it? Okay, great. Just don't tell me they're going to go win 12 games now because they have this player. I think the history of the last 10 years in the league will tell you that adding a running back does not move that meter for you.
And I was against the McCoy trade, and some people, probably maybe even most Bills fans would tell you, most football fans would tell you that it was good. Oh, well, Kiko Alonso. Oh, well, you made the playoffs. Oh, well, this many yards. You know? Fournette ran for a ton of yards. And that didn't, you know, they took him out and somebody else does now. Like, it's just, and your point, the McCoy reference reminds me of the thing you said earlier about Bell, which I just don't want to end up feeling like I owe him anything if he's on the team. Because that was a big one with McCoy for me. Like, now I'm going to feel like I owe McCoy. I'm going to have to feed him or else I've got a different problem.
One of the first points I made today. Like, I don't want to sign up for that at all. If I can get this guy and he knows his role and he's comfortable, being mostly a receiving option – and like in certain packages, and he, you know, there's an asset to be had. Okay, that's fine. If he comes in and like the saloon doors blow open and he's holding two six shooters, like, I'm your new running back. I don't want to start feeding a running back. Like, I'm trying to join the 21st century here.
Exactly. I don't want to give the ball to anybody. The only person I want running is Allen. I'm serious about that. All right. Thank you, Tony. It's fun. John Clayton coming up. We'll update the Le'Veon Bell story because there is a little bit more news trickling in every little bit. We'll do that after this. Mike Schoppe and the Bulldog, WGR.
Hot Today fans, I'm back.
That's the whole thing?
That's it.
Joe Thornton there saying he's still playing.
Hot Today fans, I'm back.
Davos in Switzerland, I believe.
And he's playing for free.
Oh, I've done.
To come back to the.
I've
NHL.
Done that.
I have done lots of that.
In my career.
Playing for free?
Yes.
Usually, I'm actually paying.
And I've done it without sports. Having made $50 million in another line of work or the same. So you think he's something for that? I'll step in. How about this quote from Devontae Adams? So the Packers are at the Buccaneers on Sunday. That's pretty good. That's a nice little late game when we don't have the Bills, right? That's a nice little 4:30. Green Bay at Tampa Bay.
Sure.
Rodgers and Brady. Not many meetings between those two.
The Bay of Pigs.
That's right. And Adams was asked about playing against Brady, and he said, quote, I don't care if it was blank or Tom Brady on the other side. Do you know who the blank is? I guess I asked for this.
Gene, I went with Mr. Belvedere.
I don't care if it was Mr. Belvedere or Tom Brady on the other side. The line's better the other way around, but this is how he said it.
Yeah.
The line's better if he goes, I don't care if it's Tom Brady or Mr. Belvedere on the other side. That's better. That's how you'd write it.
It's a former Bill. Devontae Adams is not such... He's a young enough guy that he's not going back. Like, the farthest he might go back would be, like, Drew Bledsoe? Maybe? Doug Flutie? I don't know. I don't know who he's talking about.
Joe, do you?
No idea.
Nathan Peterman. I don't care if it's Nate Peterman on the other side, he said.
All right.
I'm not here for that.
All right.
Little bit of trivia that not a lot of people know, that Nathan Peterman played for the Bills once. No, more than once. A few times.
Right, a couple of years.
It never really went that well, but I'll say it like people would say it on Twitter. Like, not many people know that. So, the latest on Le'Veon Bell from Nate Taylor of The Athletic, it's down to Kansas City and Miami. So we'll see, but we're having fun talking about it.
Okay. I feel like we are we forgetting Rachel's trivia today?
We did forget Rachel's Throwback Thursday trivia. You are right. We did. Okay. We did. It could have been about Joe Thornton. It could have been about Nathan Peterman. But now it's too late.
I thought this was all a setup to that. So I'm sitting here waiting for you to launch into the thing, and I'm like, no. Okay, he forgot. So now I'm sorry. I'm reminding you on the air. We could have had this conversation in private.
No, it's good. It's good. it's better. I think Rachel's is even happy because it's like an extra publicity.
Extra mentions, yeah. Right?
If you mentioned that we forgot the Rachel's part, then that's good for Rachel's. It's not their fault. Okay. Nobody's going to blame them. Right. You'd be wrong to blame them, all right? As their spokesperson, I will say, you'd be wrong to blame them. John Clayton next. We will play Rachel's Throwback Thursday trivia next hour. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.